$1,000. Now, text the keyword BILLS to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BILLS to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning. Oh, we got a word?
Where's the music?
You didn't tell me this. We just
where's
got the
music?
Word. Where's the music? I don't know where it is. Here it is. It's on
ABC
right now.
Just announced.
Yeah.
The baby has been born.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Okay, if you ahead, don't Natalie. Know, we're speaking about Kate Middleton and Prince William.
Prince William. This is the third child. And?
Yes. It's a boy.
Oh, God. So
Natalie.
Excited.
8 pounds, 7 ounces.
What is it?
8 pounds, 7 ounces.
Oh, that was my first son was 8 pounds, 7 ounces.
Yes.
We have the actual audio from the hospital.
That doesn't sound like an English crybaby. Ow.
Eight pounds, 7 ounces, a healthy boy.
Yeah.
So we think it's going to be Philip? We don't know, huh?
Stop that sound effect.
By the way,
it's driving me crazy.
The palace has informed the Queen and Prince Philip. They are delighted.
What did the Queen say? Oh, the Queen says, I'm pissed. What do you expect her to say? The Queen's delighted.
Ready to palace.
Oh, there you go, your Pakistani Queen again.
Delighted with the news, the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh.
Okay.
And as well as the Prince of Wales, of course, and the Duchess of Cornwall.
Right.
And Natalie can't contain herself.
Oh, it's a baby. How could you not be happy? Somebody had a baby. It's great. Wow.
And now we're going to have to sit through the build-up to the next royal wedding, Harry and Meghan Markle, and have to hear about all the designers and who her bridesmaids are going to be and what the floral arrangements are going to be. And then we'll have to get excited when they have a baby, too. And all of this old English doddering old family that we broke away from 275 years ago.
I got a tweet from Christine here at our show website, at Len Michael WOR. Aw, come on, Riedel. This Anglophile wants you to lighten up about the royal baby news. It's exciting and a nice diversion from all the bad stuff going on, and we know you probably secretly love it, too.
I am an Anglophile. I have to give you that. I do like my little trips to London and see all my friends over in England. I love to go to the shows over there that come to Broadway. So, yeah, I do love English history and whatnot, but I'm just not obsessed with the royal family and their babies. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's...
The rest of the world is, but all right.
That leads off the big three today. It is a boy. So that's exciting. So that's number one on our big three. Also in the big three... Serious story. The manhunt continues for the Nashville Waffle House killer. 4 dead,
yep.
4 injured, and the hero who wrestled the gun away from this maniac. Thank God he did it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is one of these stories, again, where some lunatic gets hold of guns. And this is a strange story because this guy, Rankin, he was arrested by the White House last year carrying firearms. And they confiscated the firearms, but they gave them back to his father. And his father told authorities he would make sure his son didn't get his hands on the guns, but he did, and he killed 4 people at the Waffle House. And he is still on the loose. And we were talking to ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan about an hour or so ago, and Jim said that they found 3 of the 4 guns. They think he is on the loose with a handgun, so he's got to be considered armed and dangerous.
Mm. And they say it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
They say it's in
a car racing around.
Well, he had 4 guns. They were confiscated. There's one still missing, and my guess is you're going to find it. He'll use it on himself at some point today.
Let's hope he uses it on himself and not someone else. But you got to give it up for James Shaw Jr. He was the real hero there, just a customer at the Waffle House. This guy starts shooting the place up, and when he paused to reload, James grabbed the gun and the barrel, which was hot and smoking. He grabbed the barrel, yanked the gun away from the shooter, and then the shooter ran away. And this guy
is Shaw. He was unarmed.
Terrific guy.
Yeah. Anybody says, don't call me a hero.
I'm not a hero. I'm just a regular person. And I think anybody could have did what I did.
Good for him. I'm not sure everyone would. I know I probably wouldn't have. So good for you, James.
No, I can assure you, you would not have. You would have crawled under a table.
Well, the Waffle House CEO, Walt Emmer, he knows what this guy really is.
But you are a hero. You're my hero. You saved people's lives. And I talked to some of those people you saved today, and they will think of you for the rest of their days.
Yeah, James absolutely. Shaw. James Shaw, 29 years old, a real American hero.
And rounding out the big three, the big North Korea news over the weekend, they announced they will suspend nuclear testing. So far, so good. That's all.
Absolutely. And it is President Donald J. Trump who has achieved this diplomatic breakthrough. Wasn't Obama, wasn't Bush, wasn't anybody else. In fact, it was on their watch that North Korea got nuclear weapons. And I think Trump understands, practically speaking, that you can't put that horse back into the barn, so you got to sit down and negotiate with Kim Jong-un to get him to pull back from his nuclear program.
Well, I hope it goes well. That's all I'm going to say. And
but you're skeptical. I can tell you're skeptical.
Well, people are skeptical of North Korea the way they are of Iran, you know, until you can actually denuclearize and verify it. And at that point, yeah, it's a home run. So let's hope. I hope it happens. I'm not rooting against it.
I don't think Trump is going to go in there and be duped. I mean, he is a keen negotiator. Trump himself has been saying, look, if we can't come to an agreement, I can walk away from it anytime. And my button is still bigger than his button. Keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. And we have some Mets tickets coming up at 8:30. Dr. Oz will join us live in the studio at 9:05. Finally, the cable, well, CNN and NBC have broken in with the baby news. I think Fox News is the last holdout.
They're a little slow on the uptick here. Hey, by the way, did you have a chance to look at the funeral for Barbara Bush over the weekend, Len?
I did see some of it. I love the picture of all the former presidents and first ladies together. It really showed a camaraderie, which we just don't seem to have in politics today.
Yeah, no, Trump wasn't there. People did notice Melania seemed to be yucking it up with Obama sitting there in the pew. She seems happier than she has been in a long time in the White House.
Twitter had a field day with that. She said she looked happier talking to Obama than she did at her own inauguration with her husband. So it's true. You know, she doesn't smile a lot. But
you know, that Bush family, you can disagree with them politically, right. But they are a classy family, and that was a classy and very moving funeral.
All right, so the tenets of journalism, right? Who, what, when, where, why, and how, correct?
Yes.
So page six, and we had the story before the top of the news. Annette Bening had to go to ER during the filming of Seagull, her new movie, because she had a tick bite.
Yep.
Great story. One little minor detail. Where? Where?
Well, she was making a movie called The Seagull.
Don't you want to know where this happened? Wouldn't that be slightly important to the
story?
She
was bitten by a tick. No, she was in the woods, all right? She wasn't at a Pan Quotidian on 34th Street, okay? She was in the woods somewhere. That's where you get a tick bite, Len.
You know, just typical shoddy journalism. Anyway, it happened at Arrow Park in Monroe, New York.
Oh, I'm so glad to know that detail. I could have slept until I knew that detail.
But also, there's apparently Natalie tells me there's some ticks living year round in New Jersey. So it's an issue, and it's early in the year. Here you have a tick in upstate New York and New Jersey, and it's not even officially. Oh. Hot.
It's absolutely, you know, we were at a soccer game yesterday for my son, and the kid's bench was lining a wooded area. And I told every parent sitting there, I said, when you get home, check your kid for ticks, because they're sitting there. This part of the year, people will be surprised. It might be a little chilly out, but there are ticks everywhere.
This is why I live in the West Village. We don't have ticks in the West Village.
You are such a soccer mom.
We're transvestites and whatnot, but we don't have any ticks in the West Village.
Hey, how about Kellyanne Conway having fun with CNN yesterday?
Oh, that was good.
She took umbrage at the fact that Dana Bash was asking her about her husband's tweets. Kellyanne Conway has put out some negative tweets about the
husband has put out some negative tweets about the president and whatnot.
Right. Also put out some positive tweets. So Bash said, hey, what's up with your husband's tweets? And Kellyanne was not thrilled.
He writes a lot of things that are also supportive, and he writes a lot of things about corgis and Philadelphia Eagles and sports, too. But the fact is, two things I'll say to you. Number one, that, again, that woman who lost the election, whose name I never see on TV anymore, is wrong. That women, I think she said white women, have to listen to the men in their life to form their own political opinions.
What? She's talking about Hillary.
Yeah, she's talking about Hillary.
All right, let's hear some more.
wrong again, lady. Number two, it's fascinating to me that CNN would go there, but it's very good for the whole world to have just witnessed that it's now fair game what people's how people's spouses and significant others may differ with them. I'm really surprised, but some ways relieved and gratified to see that. That should really be fun.
Really fun. Kellyanne's fun. We're trying to get her on the show again because I don't always agree with her, but I'll tell you, I would want her to spin for me any day of the week.
Yeah, but you know, she went on to say, by definition, spouses have a difference of opinion. One is, I don't know, draining the joint bank account. Now, the implication could be there that Dana Bash and her husband John King split up, and so Kellyanne Conway was probably saying, if you continue to go there, I've got some information about you and your ex I might bring out. So I don't know if that's... But she really has that, but there was definitely the implication.
She was a little implication about it.
It was like,
I got some dirt. Right?
I got some dirt on you and your ex-husband, so you want to play with me? Watch out.
Anyway, Kellyanne Conway going on a riff against CNN on CNN. These are fun times, aren't they?
It's always fun with Kellyanne.
Good times.
You know that.
Hey, coming up next, it is a boy. Everyone's excited. We're going to go live to ABC News correspondent Tom Rivers in London, and I'm sure he's jumping for joy like everyone else over across the pond. That's coming up when we come back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 at 9:05 here on 710 WOR.
Hey, you could have some harsh surgery to look younger, but why on earth would you do that? Listen to what Joanne from Connecticut says. My husband looks 10 years younger, 10 years younger using Genucel. He saw results the first day he used it. I have also had remarkable results. I can't be without it. I have to second what Joanne from Connecticut says. I've been using Genucel now for 8 weeks since I started on this program. I was getting the saggy, droopy eyelids, the bags under my eyes. And since I've been using Genucel, they really have cleared up. Genucel contains natural ingredients for incredible results safely and quickly. It's as simple as that. You'll notice a difference, I think, in about 12 hours on your face. My girlfriend has noticed, I'm very pleased to say. And from now on until Mother's Day, order Genucel and you can try Chamonix's brand new Genucel Eyelid Lift for droopy, sagging eyelids, and it's absolutely free. Order now and Chamonix will include a surprise luxury gift in the packet also. Go to Genucel.com, that's Genucel.com, or call 1-800-577-8627, 1-800-577-8627. Get your Genucel now and those bags and the puffiness under the eyes, I guarantee you, they will be gone.
Let's check out traffic now. See if all those cars are gone. Here is Bernie Viter.
WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Coming up at 8:25. In 5 minutes, Len will be giving away his personal seats to the Mets game, so you'll want to stick around for that. Don't call yet, but wait till we give you the A-OK.
Big, 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 big news.
It's a royal baby boy. Kate Middleton has given birth to her third child with Prince Harry. George and Charlotte were there. They have a new baby boy. We don't know the name yet, but let's get some details.
Why was Harry there? William wasn't there?
William, right. Sorry. I've already caused a royal scandal.
Wait a second. I already fooled around. Wait, what's that? Oh, where was Meghan? Does she know that Harry was
Harry
there?
Oh, no. That's it. There's a royal scandal. Let's go into Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent in London. So, yeah, did I break some news there, Tom? Is there a royal scandal rocking the palace?
I think you're working your own narrative there, Michael. I don't know. But I'll tell you, the tabloids would probably like to run with that. But, yeah, you're right. Let's get the facts as we know. 1101 right. Local. That's a good time because, you know, she's the third one is supposed to be fast. It was pretty fast. That's 6:01 Eastern. And a whopping baby boy, 8 pounds, 7 ounces. That's good. As you say, William was there. 4-year-old Prince George, he was in school, kindergarten. You got 2-year-old Princess Charlotte, she's at home. So we're expecting the kids with mom and dad to hook up maybe in a few hours on the steps of St. Mary's Hospital, and we'll see everybody for the photo of the year until maybe the wedding next month of Harry and Meghan.
Hey,
but the young lad is now fifth in line to the throne. How's that?
The young lad. Listen, Tom, he's an American. He's over there in Britain. He's already starting to use words like lad. Tom, when does the queen and her doddering old husband make an appearance?
They're probably not going to. You know, they'll take the baby over to either Windsor or Buckingham Palace, wherever the Queen and Prince Philip are. And it's interesting as well. We've learned this in the past couple of births. you know, what's the name going to be? We don't know what the name is yet because, A, they haven't decided, or they may have decided, but they got to bounce it off the queen first. So you can't have a name that she wouldn't like. She may not like Prince Tom, so she's going to throw that in the reject pile.
See? Oh, Michael. What, the betting people say Philip, huh?
They're saying Philip. They're saying James. They're saying Arthur. I got really good long odds on Prince Zorro.
Hey Tom, I got an email from a listener named Mark, and he's asking when's the Royal Bris.
I don't know. That's a good one. I don't know, Joe.
Does the Queen take part in that one?
Maybe. You never know.
So the next big thing is the royal wedding. We have to say, Tom, that the royal family, you know, with the death of Princess Diana, the family was rocked by that. And there was some talk back in those days that the whole monarchy might come tumbling down. They've really turned things around and are popular.
They really, if you want to look at it from a marketing, a PR campaign, they really were. You think all of the bad blood, you think of the publication of Diana's book, the Andrew Morton book. Again, you had a situation where, you know, basically the royals, you know, exist at the behest and the support of the public. And it was really low, but they slowly rebuilt that. And of course, it was somewhat of a victory for Charles, but the real heavy lifting were the kids coming along, William and Harry. They have changed things. And the numbers, if you track them for the past 20 years, as those young kids have come up, you've got support for the royals going up as well. So I guess that bodes well for the royal families to head through the beginning of the 21st century.
I'm with Tom Rivers, ABC News in London. Before we run, Tom, seriously, is this something where you can feel it in the air that people are excited there, or is it just another Monday in London?
No, it's a good day. People are happy. They call the process whenever you get a birth in this country. It's called, you go to the local pub with your pals and they call it wedding the head of the baby. And that means, you know, in the case of William, he's got to buy the first round, and then you have quite a few rounds after that. So yeah, I think businesses and the pubs are going to do well today. It's good news. It's, as I say, the third kid for William and Kate. So it's no great shakes as far as, succession to the throne goes. But one interesting tidbit is that Harry now moves down from fifth in line to sixth. And he's happy with that. He wants to stay as far away from the throne as he possibly can.
Yeah, he's going to be a power-mongering grabber, and I'm waiting. I'm a tabloid hack. I'm waiting for a scandal to erupt in Buckingham Palace. All right, Tom Rivers,
Tom.
ABC News correspondent in London. Thanks a lot.
Take care, guys. All right.
And guess what time it is?
Well, now's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Braves May 1st at Citi Field. The caller number 16, 800-321-0710. You'll be the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
And now let's go to the 8:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, let's get to the serious stuff here. 29-year-old Travis Reinkink still on the run after allegedly killing four people at a Waffle House in Nashville this weekend. The sheriff, Robert Hudson, says his guns were taken away after he was arrested by the Secret Service, but they were eventually given back to his father.
He was allowed to do that after he assured deputies that he would keep them secure and away from Travis. We have no information about how Travis came back into possession of those firearms after August 24th.
Among the weapons taken from Reinke was an AR-15, which was used in that attack. An investigation continues after a Paterson, New Jersey police officer was killed while on duty. Officer Tammy Yagan died after crashing his marked patrol vehicle into a parked car on Getty Avenue yesterday. City Councilman Luis Velez.
In uniform, he was the type of people that, officer that always orientate people how to conduct themselves out there, drive safely, you know, and without uniform, he was a kind man, always with a smile, always shaking hands.
It is unclear whether Yagan died because of that car crash or whether he may have suffered some kind of medical emergency just before the accident. An apparent Donald Trump supporter is on the run after pushing a man onto the subway tracks in Union Square. The African-American man was wearing a Make America Great Again hat when he attacked a Hispanic man. This happened Friday. Police say the two got into some kind of confrontation on a number 4 train. It spilled out onto the platform at Union Square. Victim was pushed onto the tracks but was rescued. And thanks to the investigative reporting of our listener, Bridget.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
She suggests this could be the same guy who took a Make America Great hat again from a Danish tourist a couple of days earlier at Knife Point.
I remember that, Savannah.
At Union Square.
How about that? Yeah. Bridget Sharp.
She's a regular Columbo.
I'm telling you, she figured that out.
Thank you, Bridget. Very good possibility. Thank you. Our news at 8:30 brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com. And we may get a little more detail on the sex cult operating in upstate New York. And in the
Stop drooling, Joe.
Of an actress from the TV show Smallville.
This is crazy stuff.
Very big. Plus, it operates in Albany, which... of all places. Anyway, Allison Mack will be...
where you're from?
Yeah.
Well, it's a sewer up there.
A lot of weird stuff up there. Allison Mack is doing court today for a bail hearing. She's accused of participating in a sex cult that operated in the Albany area. She accused of being second in command and recruiting sex slaves for the cult leader, 57-year-old Keith Raniere.
Oof.
This was billed as a self-help organization.
She could be going down. My God.
Strange. Nexium. I think the cult is called Nexium. I would know much about it, but
Nexium. Yeah.
You have a card membership? What's your member number, Joe?
This young lady groom young women for
you're
sex.
You're making light of this, Riedel. This is a serious thing. Come on.
It's very sick.
Yeah, so. Hey, the skies are not friendly these days, Len. There was chaos on a Delta flight. Some poor woman, she was eating an apple and she got caught by customs. And you're not going to believe the fine they slapped on her. That's coming up when we come back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is at 9:05 on 710 WOR.
Riverwalk, a premier independent living community overlooking the Hudson River. With luxury residential style accommodations, Riverwalk is part of River Spring Health's Family of Care Solutions and is located at the Hebrew Home at Riverdale's lush 32-acre waterfront campus. Riverwalk's spacious modern apartments feature cafe-style meals, housekeeping, and concierge services. I've been to Riverwalk and I've witnessed older adults as they experience life in a vibrant atmosphere. I've seen the residents participating in activities and programs, including art classes, live entertainment, dance, and music. Residents enjoy a renowned art collection and museum. They have cultural trips. They're enriched through Riverwalk University courses, lectures, and current events classes. Find out more. Call 800-56-SENIOR. Every aspect of the Riverwalk experience has been thoughtfully crafted around one central mission, to help your loved ones live forward each and every day. Call 800-56-SENIOR or go to riverspringhealth.org today.
And let's check in on traffic with Bernie Vider.
710 WOR.
And a big good morning to you at 8:41 on a beautiful Monday. Temps will get up in the mid-60s. Looks like we're finally done with winter. Just a terrific day yesterday and hopefully another great one today. And on we go. Michael Riedel.
The sun has got his hat on. Hip, 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 hooray. The sun has got his hat on and he's coming out today.
Brent Cutler, Pelham, New York, won the Mets tickets at 8:30. We'll have more Mets tickets tomorrow at 7:30 and 8:30. Also, we have a special day tomorrow. We're calling it T-Shirt Tuesday. So tomorrow only, every caller who gets on the air will win one of our gorgeous new WOR T-shirts.
Right.
WOR in the front and Len Berman and Michael Riedel on the back. We deserve to be in the rear, huh?
I don't know. I mean, we were saying earlier, do you want to be on the front of a T-shirt or the back?
Depends who's wearing it.
Stormy Daniels, you want to be on the front, I think.
For sure.
You know, that's what you're going to be looking at. But I guess the back's all right, you know.
As long as you make it.
As long as you
make it somewhere.
As long as they spell my name right, which, by the way, most people never do. They always misspell my name.
Well, people know how to pronounce it. Are you Bobby Rydell?
I always get Rydell because people think Rydell High from Greece, and they always spell it R-E-I.
Wasn't there a Bobby Rydell, a rock singer in the early days?
Absolutely. Bobby Rydell.
This is Michael Riedel, everyone. Mr. New York Post Broadway.
Riedel rhymes with needle and
course,
beetle.
He's so Mr. Broadway, the big opening night for Harry Potter, and he's at Mean Girls, so he knows where to pick him. So
I had a good time at Mean Girls. Okay, Come on. I'm going to catch up with Harry Potter. I'll give you a full report when I'm there.
By the way, tomorrow in this hour, our special guest is going to be Charlemagne the God.
Huh?
He's a terrific guy. He's over at Power 105, The Breakfast Club. His book has now gone paperback, Black Privilege. Really like Charlemagne a lot. I'm looking forward to him coming on here tomorrow.
I love the name, too, Charlemagne.
Charlemagne the God.
Charlemagne the God.
I think is a given name. We'll have to ask him.
Len Berman the...
So, the what? Go ahead.
No. I'm not
complete the sentence, Riedel.
No, Len Berman the... Napper. Len Berman, the napper.
You just keep picking on that. Just pick away. Pick. Hey, more airplane stories as usual. This is a flight. What the hell's going on airlines? This is London to Salt Lake. This passenger's name is Sarah Maria Beach. All she did was topple the drink cart, threw coffee on passengers ran up and down the aisle. Well, finally, there were some air marshals on the flight.
Yeah.
They restrained her. It all seemed to be going well, although she went to the bathroom three times. After the third bathroom visit, she jumped on the back of one of the air marshals and placed her hands on his head, neck, and jawline. She was charged with misdemeanor assault, arraigned on Friday in order to undergo a mental health evaluation. You think?
Was she on anything? Do we know if she was?
Must.
See, I think
nuts.
What
people
I think,
are nuts. People are nuts, Riedel, I tell you.
Yeah, but I think what happens in the airports now is that flying has become extremely stressful, and you have the delays, and you have all of those bars there, and I think people kill the time by getting a little tanked up, and then they have bad judgment when they're on the plane. They don't get what they want right away. They're higher than kites, and that's when they go nutty, and that's why we have these incidents. Almost weekly, we've got an incident with the planes.
Well, we have a serious airplane story with Southwest Airlines, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, you better double check if you're flying Southwest Airlines if the plane's going to be there, because they're grounding several of the planes after that engine exploded mid-air and killed that poor woman, Jennifer Riordan, last week. They're inspecting all of the engines on the Southwest planes. Last Sunday, they canceled about 40 flights. 13% of the flights were delayed yesterday. Still going to be cancellations today going into the week. Listen, you can't really get upset about this. If they're canceling your flight because I want to make sure the engine's not going to blow up in midair,
right.
I'm going to be fine with that. So, but just make sure that you check in with Southwest Airlines if you're flying it this week to see if your flight's delayed.
How about this story? This was kind of wacky. This lady comes from Paris, lands in the United States. She goes through customs. Before the flight ended, they handed out apples to the customers.
Yeah, snacks,
She took the apple, put it in a plastic bag, put it in her purse. She goes through customs, and she gets in trouble. She was randomly searched. The customs agent pulled the apple out of the bag. It had a Delta logo on the bag. And she said, she gets in trouble for
this. Well, they can't bring produce into countries.
She said, could she throw it away or eat it? And the customs agent said, nope. And she's going to be fined $500 for carrying the undeclared fruit.
Which is not anything that she brought on. It was on the plane already.
Is that crazy?
Ridiculous. And Delta's not really sticking up for it, I don't think. They released some mamby-pamby statement saying, well, customs...
Customs says all agricultural items must be declared.
I don't know. I think it's a little excessive, and I have a feeling that the woman will be let off.
$500 apple. All right, coming up, four former presidents gathered in Houston. I hope you saw the picture. It was really
a
tremendous group picture of the former presidents, first ladies. Obviously, they were honoring former first lady Barbara Bush at her funeral. We'll discuss, play some sound from that when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 comes up at 9:05 right here on 710 WOR. Right now, let's look at traffic with Bernie Vi.
Big news, stop the presses. There's a new baby boy at Buckingham Palace.
Let you could be not yet. The baby's still in the hospital. Boy, you don't know how these things work, do you?
I'm going to check in with the Queen to see when I'm going to get my invitation to the bris. Right.
That's the Royal Bris announcement. Right there.
Kate Middleton has given birth to how the baby's 8 pounds, I think.
8 pounds, 7 ounces.
8 pounds, 7 ounces. Baby is healthy by all accounts, but we don't know the name because there's like some crazy British protocol. And this is what I found interesting. We were talking to Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent in London. He said that William and Kate have to go to the Queenie and get her approval. Get her approval for the name. That they can't give the baby a name that they want if the Queenie doesn't like the name.
What would you give if just once they said, Queenie, well, we're naming the baby Shlomo. What would you just give to be in on that conversation? Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just
Tevye.
Kidding, Mom.
Your grandson's going to be named Tevye. That's right. No, that's not going to happen. Philip. Philip. What are the odds now? Philip is a big one. Philip, Michael. Arthur.
Arthur is big. Philip and Michael. Yeah.
There was already a King Arthur, though.
Or Charles, too, they said. I don't know. very confusing.
Suddenly you don't care.
No.
Earl, this morning, you're like, oh, my God, it's so exciting. No. We're waiting on news of the baby. And I said, who cares about this royal family, please? And now you're like, I don't care.
See, those people name kids after people who are still living. So, you know, if it was a girl, it might have been Elizabeth, even though Elizabeth's still alive.
it would be not Elizabeth all, III.
Not all faiths do that, by the way. But what, those people.
What do you mean, those people?
Well, no, Jewish
those,
people.
Those non-Jewish people?
Yeah.
Those,
the Goyim.
Those Shiksas and those Goyim?
The Shiksas, yeah.
No, Len, these are not good terms to be throwing around.
No, that's fine. They're just legitimate. They're not pejorative.
Now, we don't have a royal family here in America, of course, thank God. But well, we do have dynasties.
Other than the Clintons.
And they're finished. There's no, thank God, there's the never going to be a Queen Hillary.
The Kennedys, the Kennedys were our Camelot, right?
There are, well, there are, for some of you on the left, there are, though, and Ted Kennedy, who drowned Mary Jo Kopechne, yeah, that's a noble act. There are dynasties, political dynasties, and one of them is, of course, the Bush family, and they buried Barbara Bush on Saturday morning. I watched some of the funeral, very classy, very moving, very touching, all the things the Bushes do. Aside from going to war in Iraq, are generally classy.
Jeb Bush spoke.
Barbara Bush filled our lives with laughter and joy, and in the case of her family, she was our teacher and role model on how to live a life of purpose and meaning. I know exactly what she's thinking right now. Jeb, keep it short. Don't drag this out. People have already heard enough remarks already. And most of all, don't get weepy.
You know, and the picture they took of all the former presidents and first ladies with, obviously, with senior George Bush in a wheelchair. It was a wonderful picture. It made you feel good. Like, you know, can't we all just get along?
Well, I mean, Obama was there. Clinton was there. George Bush Jr. was there. Right. His dad. Trump did not go to the
Melania
funeral.
Was
he sent
there.
Melania, and she looked like she was having a gay old time there, sitting yucking it up with Obama in the pew.
The point was made that she and Obama were exchanging pleasantries, and she was smiling, and it did not escape Twitter users that she doesn't often look that happy in the White House. That's all.
She never looks happy in the White House. Yeah. She doesn't even hold her husband's hand anymore, but she and Obama, they look like they were big pals. But it was a very moving funeral, and Barbara Bush's best friend spoke at the funeral as well.
She did. This is Susan Baker.
The world respects Barbara Bush's deep passion and great effectiveness in equipping those who cannot read with the skill to do so.
Yeah, her push for literacy.
She was smart, strong, fun, and feisty, even sometimes making the headline she regretted.
Well, yes, we do remember when she said of Hillary Clinton, she was asked to describe Hillary Clinton. She said, well, I don't want to say it, but it rhymes with rich.
Well, the other point, and I guess I should just make it briefly, is that, yes, the president was not there, and not all presidents go to first lady's
Obama
funerals.
Obama
didn't go to Nancy Reagan's.
Nancy Reagan's, yeah.
But he was busy tweeting nice thoughts.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
It was nice of him
here
at a time when the nation is burying Barbara Bush. Mm-hmm. It was very thoughtful. He said, the New York Times and a third-rate reporter named Maggie Haberman.
Haberman.
He wrote Haberman.
He wrote Haberman?
Yes, H-A-B-B-E-R-M-A-N. He did. I'm not making this up. Known as a crooked H flunky who I don't speak to and have nothing to do with. He goes on and on and on. Well, of course he speaks to her. She's the White House whisperer. She gets interviews with him all the time. I mean, really?
Yeah, I got
to. This is what you have to tweet out during a funeral?
I have to defend Maggie Haberman because I knew her when she worked at the Post for many years. She's covered Trump for years, and he does speak to her. She's the go-to person at the New York Times, and she has broken some of the major stories of the Trump administration. Right. She's a terrific reporter, and so, yes, Trump is lying. Dare I say it, he is lying when he says he does not speak to Maggie Haberman. And Maggie, by the way, the Times is against Trump, no question about it. But I find her coverage of Trump to be very fair.
She is, and I see her tweets, and she'll tweet out fair things on both sides. She really will.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Dr. Oz is coming up when we return. He saved the day. He pulled a teenager out of a burning bus on the turnpike. We're going to talk to him about that. Plus, you know, any medical questions we have for the great Dr. Oz. And your chance at $1,000 coming up after the 9 o'clock news with Joe Barton.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's cash to 200-200.
710 WOR. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on The Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. We got a live one in the studio, Len.
Look
we
who's
got a
here.
Live one.
Unbelievable.
He is
Mr.
Here.
Hero.
The legendary Dr. Oz live in the, not on the phone, live in the studio sitting right next to me, looking very dapper, I have to
making
say.
Making a house Dr. call. Oz. Thank you for having me. You look quite fit, by the way.
Oh, I do.
Yes,
thank
I hope you.
You
rub off on Len.
How do yes. I look?
He's hiding. He's in a body box hiding from me.
The last time he was in here, he swabbed down all of our keyboards.
Oh, really?
Mine was the most germ-infested, like 8,000 more than the typical you're supposed to have. I was like Mr.
He had
dirty
cholera. He had salmonella. It was terrible.
And anthrax. You know, I jog and I swim every day.
I know.
Len does absolutely nothing but sleep and nap and eat.
Well, what do you think, Doc?
I don't think you need my judgment on that one. You know, there's this test we have called the Real Age Test. It's been taken by 30 million Americans. And it tells you how old your body thinks you are.
Oh.
So these kinds of questions to figure out exactly how much it helps you, we actually can answer. So I'll give you an example. We have a show coming up on red meat, which it turns out, I know the World Health Organization beats up on it, but it costs you a couple months of life maybe. So right. Not the biggest change to
every
make.
Every time you eat a steak, you lose
a few
months?
No, in aggregate.
In aggregate, a couple of months.
Yeah, if you're eating.
How about my wine? What's that going to do to me?
Wine actually helps.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, wine's good for you.
Tell
in
them
moderation.
Tell them how much you drink, though. Like.
Well, it's none of his business.
Gallons of Parmesan every year.
That ripple is great. I'm telling you. I highly recommend that on ice.
Matus Rosé.
So what is the best protein that you should be eating?
Plant proteins, for sure.
Plant proteins.
Yeah, think
not
about,
fish, not chicken?
No. I'll go through them if you want. We have a show this week on this topic. The plant proteins, and you can put them in your, you can put a pea protein or something in a smoothie, but plant-based proteins work. And cows get their meat from eating plants, right? They don't eat other meat.
True, yeah.
So you don't actually have to have a steak. But I have always felt, there's a lot of data support, if you lean green, you can get all the protein you need and plants are sustainable for the environment. Global warming is to a large extent caused by how we farm our animals. So it's an issue that folks are going to be focused on anyway. That stated, I'm an 80-20 guy. 80% of the time, plant proteins. The other 20% of the time, you want other sources. The best source is probably fish, except for the fact that we polluted a lot of our oceans.
Mm-hmm.
So the fish tend to accumulate toxins. So I, for example, have high mercury levels.
Right.
Which I got a letter from the state of New York telling me that. I was so high that I was getting
really?
A warning. But have you checked your mercury level, Len?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Well,
how'd you get a letter from the state? How did they know?
The state has to be notified if people have toxically high levels of things like mercury.
What are you, a thermometer?
I know.
I thought I was glowing
on a thermometer. But it's from fish. I eat a lot of fish.
I eat a lot of fish, too.
So I started.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, that's right. There we go again. He's saving his life inadvertently by accident.
Well, as if Dr. Oz doesn't get enough attention and publicity and daytime Emmy nominations and all that, as if he's not on enough on Fox 5 at 1 o'clock today, there's a burning bus on the turnpike yesterday, and he comes to the rescue. What is this? You're making this up now.
Superhero.
People think I'm a bad omen. When I'm around, accidents happen. But this actually was one of those moments where time freezes, and I'll come back to that concept because I've never understood why that happens. I figured it out. I learned. But I was driving down from, I live up here in the tri-state area. I was driving to Baltimore. Ben Carson, who's the HUD secretary, has for 20 years given away these Carson scholarships. There's,
mm-hmm.
500 kids around the country who are both academically gifted, but they also help the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving down
nice.
And I'm about halfway down on the Jersey Turnpike at the southern tip, and there's this bus in front of me, and the left back tire pops, and I see the rubber come flying across the road. Everyone's swerving, getting out of it. Then the bus pulls over and catches on fire.
Whoa.
And all these kids start getting herded off the bus by the teachers. That's a music high school. They were in New York City watching Wicked on Saturday night.
Huh, yeah.
And so they're not knowing the real fire wasn't on the theater. It was in the way home. And these young people, of course, they've never been to anything like this. They want to get their musical instruments off the bus. Trying to drag a tuba off a burning bus is not so easy. And these teachers were so good with these kids, trying to hustle them off, trying to keep them from going back. Let me go back to this issue of why time freezes. Thankfully, by the way, everyone's okay. I called 911 because we were the first ones there. First responders came and, took care of stuff. But when time freezes, our memories are formed by taking snapshots of the world as it passes us by. When you get into a crisis, and we've all been there, everyone listening knows a time when just everything froze,
mm-hmm.
you take more snapshots of the world. So those snort snapshots seem to slow the world down. But I will never forget what I witnessed. And I suspect the teachers and students on that bus never will as well.
Hey, well, they say that just before death, your life passes before you. Is there something to that, do you think?
I do. I've seen death.
You've seen death.
I'm a surgeon. I still operate.
Oh, okay.
So most Americans have never actually seen the process of death because we tend to let it happen in private. Although many communities, people will hang around their loved ones.
Yeah.
But I find, first of all, people won't die if their loved ones are near them. They'll often want to be by themselves. But when you see death happen, there is these startling moments and I've had this on the show a lot, where we've talked to people who've crossed over and come back. But there is a time when the senses of the brain, which are located in different parts of the brain, we see in the back of the brain, we feel in the side of the brain, eyesight is in a different, hearing different place. So when we begin to die, our brain dissociates. So we lose proprioception, which is the sense of where we are. Mm. And we have these out-of-body moments where we see our body. We hear our body and suspect there's something else going out there. There's something above us, beyond us. If for this life that we live in to happen, mathematically, just by chance, it would probably take 50 billion years. We've only been around for 10 to 15 billion. So there's something else out there. I'm thinking about this a lot because I'm actually going to the Vatican tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a conference on ethics and medicine. And so I get to meet the Pope, the Holy Father.
Are you going
to
meet him personally?
Yes, yeah. It says,
I hope no accident happens.
I hope not, please. That would be
no flaming buses over
there. Flaming Vatican. No, it says, it's very interesting. It says the letter from the Vatican says, Pope confirmed, parentheses, pending world events.
Oh, okay.
Which is great.
We're on with Dr. Oz. You can see him every day on Fox 5 at 1 o'clock now. I don't know what you're considering the big medical issue of the moment, but I was in restaurants this weekend, and is this Caesar salad made with romaine lettuce? The whole thing was the romaine lettuce. So is this just the biggest health issue facing America right now, romaine lettuce?
Well, food poisoning is the top issue. We had a big egg recall as well, but lettuce is the crisis right now. And here's what happens. Most of the lettuce in America is grown in Southern California, Central California, the Valley. Salinas Valley, and it moves to Arizona for a couple months because of the temperature and the weather, and now we're in the Arizona phase, and animals who are raised near these crops go to the bathroom, and because many of these animals get antibiotics to help them avoid illness, and 85% of the antibiotics in America are given to farm animals. Mm-hmm. They're not given to humans. And so they breed out resistant and bad bacteria, and some of these cows must have gotten sick. They pooped in the water supply that waters the romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce grows close to the ground, so the bacteria stays on them. And then when you chop the lettuce, you mix the bacteria in with all the rest of the lettuce. You can't wash it off anymore. And that's why it was bagged lettuce initially, but now the government's saying don't eat any romaine lettuce because we can't tell. And then, listen, for another week or two until the production moves back to California, it's a crisis. Everyone's throwing the lettuce away. Lettuce is good for us. I feel badly because a good product is being tainted because animals were grown nearby, most likely. And so we're actually sacrificing lettuce because of meat.
Wow.
Which is the opposite of what you want to do. And it's going to cause a crisis for all those growers, but you can't afford. This bacteria is a bad player. You get bloody diarrhea, terrible stomach cramps. You get sick a day or two or three after you eat it. So you can't even know that you're sick when you first eat it.
Wow.
And bacteria team in your gut and destroy all your good guys.
I was going to have a salad for lunch, but
you can't.
Not anymore.
Today. Hey, tell us about the Health Corps Garden Gala you're having honoring our pal Elvis Duran.
Yeah, Elvis, God bless him, is the Golden Heart Award because he has a golden heart. Health Corps is one of the biggest kids' health foundations in the country. We teach kids about how to eat right, how to exercise better, but most importantly, we teach them mental resilience. We teach them that if they can take care of their body, they can change the world outside of it. And in a time when the biggest epidemic that I think young people face is loneliness, in part because of technology, which is actually the show topic tomorrow, a big documentary on that very reality, that kids are being pulled apart from the fabric of humanity because of their devices.
They're isolating themselves.
Exactly. So Health Corps has a big gala, it's a big party, lots of fun folks coming. But most importantly, for the guys listening out there, if you want to chip in and help kids, go to healthcorps.org, join our social pages, play with us, send us information, send us ideas. We'll share it with kids around America.
What's the best advice you can give parents if they want to try to get the kids away from the video games and the cell phones and really try to bring them back into some sort of a community?
Technology that we use is designed to addict us. It's not an accident. It's purposely made for that reason. That's part of what the discussion is on the show tomorrow. Recognizing that, if you want to get kids off a drug, how do you do it? Well, you can go cold turkey. It's hard, but sometimes the better way to go. Or you can nudge them up, but you need to give them a better alternative. And so the best advice I can give is to plan events where you're together with them. As an example, a meal, which you can all do. At my home, we ban phones from the meal. You cannot talk on
the
phone.
Good idea.
And, you know, that's nothing crazy radical. The world's not going to, you know, go down in flames usually in the half an hour you're having a meal with your loved ones. But it forces people to connect. And young people actually crave that. Mm. And they love it. I mean, their class is being taught to kids about how to ask people on dates now. They literally have
no communication skills.
None. Wow. And it's not their fault. I mean, they don't know what they don't know. You got to teach it to them.
Man. All right. Well, the great Dr. Oz and a hero.
Oh, my goodness.
People run from things they're burning. You run right to them to save
Way
lives.
Way to go, Doc. Way to go.
All right, Dr. Oz, thanks a lot for being our guest here.
God bless you, Bob.
Hey, we're going to throw the phones open, Len. When we come back, give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. We can talk about the new addition to the royal family. Kate had a baby boy.
Yeah, call us. Are you as excited as Michael is?
I don't get into this royal family thing, Dr. Oz. Everybody is thrilled about this. All they talk about is the royal family. I say, we broke away from this country 275 years ago. We had a revolution to get away from the Buckingham Palace, and now everyone is obsessed with everything that goes on at Buckingham Palace.
You betcha.
Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 1-800-321-0710. And coming up is your next chance at $1,000 at 10:05 on 710 WOR.
Riverwalk is a premier independent living community overlooking the Hudson River with luxury residential-style accommodations. Riverwalk is part of River Spring Health's family of care solutions, is located at the Hebrew Home of Riverdale's lush 32-acre waterfront campus. Riverwalk's spacious modern apartments feature cafe-style meals, housekeeping, and concierge services. I've been to Riverwalk and I've witnessed older adults as they experience life in a vibrant atmosphere. I've seen the residents participating in activities and programs. I actually led one of their programs on sports broadcasting. They also have art classes there. They have live entertainment, dance, and music. Residents enjoy a renowned art collection and museum, cultural trips. They were enriched through Riverwalk University courses, lectures, and current events classes. Find out more. Call 800-56-SENIOR. Every aspect of the Riverwalk experience has been thoughtfully crafted around one central mission: to help your loved ones live forward each and every day. Call 800-56-SENIOR or go to riverspringhealth.org today.
And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Viter.
The voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Welcome back at 9:25, everyone, on a nice Monday. It's going to get up in the mid-60s. Michael Riedel thinks the royal birth is just a waste of our time and effort to even talk about it.
What's
the big deal?
It's news, I grant you that, but the excitement that goes on surrounding the birth of a baby over there in England, I'm the part of everyone here in America, it's a little out of control. I mean, Natalie is just giddy. He was giddy with delight when it was announced it was a boy. And my girlfriend, who covers the royals too, she can't wait for the wedding.
It's
going to be exciting.
What do you folks think? Do you think Riedel's right, or do you think this is something that is interesting to you? Give us a call. 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Are you excited by the birth of the royal baby today? A healthy, bouncing 8-pound, 7-ounce baby boy, the third child for William and Kate.
I don't believe that Trump has tweeted out a congratulations yet to
actually,
to
he just tweeted. William.
Oh, he did.
Nothing
to do about the royal baby.
No congrats. He says, hard to believe the obstructionists may vote against Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State. And he goes on to talk about the Dems. They won't approve hundreds of good people. You wanted to say something about Pompeo, right?
Yeah, no, the Dems are going to vote against Pompeo, even though some of them voted to confirm him as the CIA director. But I just think the Democrats are not going to vote to confirm anybody that Trump puts forward. They're just not going to do it. But Rand Paul is not crazy about Pompeo either, so he's going to vote against him. So it's going to be a squeaker there, but he will be confirmed. But the Democrats are they're not going to give Trump anything.
All right, we've got John on the air. Hey, John, you wanted to weigh in? Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. You there, John?
Uh-oh.
Good morning, John.
Natalie said we had a little bit of a phone issue here, so that may have something to do with it.
Well,
okay.
There's no.
Anyway, by the way, Bernie Viter reporting a 45-minute delay in and out of Penn because of Amtrak overhead wire problems. So New Jersey Transit having a bit of a problem. You said Dan is on the line?
Line two, Dan.
Dutchess County. Hey, Dan, good morning. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. How are you?
Good morning, Dan. Good morning, welcome to the show.
Well, the whole thing with the Royals, and I find it a little ridiculous, but even more ridiculous, boy, if it wasn't for George Washington, we would still have a king and a queen. How ridiculous is that?
Exactly. And you live in a place called Dutchess County, so good for you to be against the Royals.
Come on. Not excited about that? All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's go to Tony from Fort Lee. Good morning, Tony.
Gentlemen, you always do a great job.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, as you know. Yeah, you know, congratulations to the royalty for baby boy. Health and happiness.
Yeah.
But that aside, who cares? A million other women had a baby today.
Exactly, Tony.
The Royals don't do anything. They're just window dressing. They're great for the economy to come shop and look at the window dress. I mean, you know, it's irrelevant almost.
Yeah, like me, you're going to boycott that wedding too?
No. Okay. What wedding?
Exactly. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. How about, did you say Jim on Long Island? Hey, Jim. What do you think?
Hey, I really don't care. I mean, this is the U.S. We got our own stuff going on here. Do we really need to look to the U.K.? And as far as the Royal Brit goes, they don't do that a lot over in Europe at all. So unless he converts, I don't think we're going to see a Bris.
Yeah, no, I was just making a little funny there, but thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Hey, we got Roy from Port Jervis on the line. Good morning, Roy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Are you with us, Roy?
Oh, boy. Dropped right out of there. All right.
Roy just disappeared.
Are you still there, Roy?
I'm here, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, great. Thank you. Glenn, I just want to say that I've been a big fan of yours for years when you were on WNBC. I'm not a big sports guy myself, but you always made it interesting, especially you're spanning the world.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks again.
As opposed to what we're doing now, right? Now you're not a big fan of this political stuff, right?
No. I love this show. I think you guys are great. But I have to agree with Michael on this one. I just don't see the obsession. I really don't. And I am 100% with his reasoning. We fought a revolution to get away from these people, and we have so many Americans who are still obsessed with the Brits and the Royals.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate
take that, Len. Take that,
but
Natalie.
Thank you for your astute comments about my television work. I really
appreciate it. That's all he's going to remember.
All right. Coming up on 9:30, they're playing our song. Here's Joe Bartlett with the news headlines.
All right. Thank you, Len. We're going to have to wait 20 seconds. So let's get to that big news about the royal birth.
Sam, when I said they're playing our song, I thought you were going to have the stock market bell.
Well, I cannot get it until...
Until they ring it, Len.
Yeah. You guys are so precise on your time these days.
And you can't play a bell that hasn't rung yet. What's wrong with you?
All right.
Let's get to the baby.
Amazing atmosphere. There are royal fans here who have been camped out for 2 weeks wearing Union flags. Jackets, waving flags, and they are waving those flags frantically now because we have a baby.
Oh, Victoria Murphy, they have a baby.
Yay. Enough of that baby sound effect, Len. Please.
No, that's the baby. That's the actual. We have the actual sound.
Ay. Hey, we still do not have a name, but the bookmakers say their favorite choices are Philip and Michael.
Okay.
Well, I'm all for that.
Michael.
Hey, you want to hear an irony here? Now, my firstborn was Michael.
Uh-huh.
8 pounds, 7 ounces, which is the exact same weight as this baby. So I think it's destined to be Michael.
And this baby's going to have a bris too, right?
Exactly, yeah.
bookmakers, by the way, were correct in picking the day of the birth.
Oh, they were? So the people didn't make money?
Well, no. I guess unless you bet with the house, I guess. Yeah. Hey, speaking of betting, we could get the Supreme Court decision on sports wagering as soon as tomorrow. The state of New Jersey challenged the federal ban on sports wagering. There's been a 6-year battle over this thing. Observers expect the high court to come down on the side of New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Dennis Drazen has built a 300-seat sports book operation in Monmouth, down at the Monmouth Racetrack. He says he can be open within 2 weeks of a favorable ruling.
Hmm.
So sports betting would be allowed at the 3 racetracks in New Jersey and Atlantic City's 7 casinos. Should the Supreme Court allow this?
You've been in favor of this for a long time, haven't you?
Absolutely. I know Dennis, and I know all those guys down at Monmouth, and they're really, really betting on this one.
Bartlett knows the house, apparently. And they have a baby name betting, too? Will that be okay in New Jersey?
The sports.
Well, I don't know. I suppose if you can bet on sports, you could bet on that.
Bet on baby naming, right.
Anyway, this is going to be big bucks. They say seven casinos and the racetracks. $9 billion in revenue.
Your taxes are going to come way down, mark my words.
Yeah, well, only. If only.
Right.
If only. Gunman remains on the loose after shooting at a Waffle House in Nashville that left four people dead. 29-year-old Travis Reinking is his name. He walked in nearly naked and opened fire with an AR-15. Fortunately, someone else in there, James Shaw Jr., saw him try to reload, wrestled the gun away from him. Reinking escaped, and police say he could be just about anywhere. All right, now let's get that bell for you, Len. And based on the Royal news, the market is higher.
Is that why exactly?
I have no idea. Who ever knows?
It's called a baby stock market boom.
A baby bump. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 69 points. S&P up 7. NASDAQ up 26.
All right. Thank you, Joey B. Coming up, a subway station closed since September 11th is set to reopen. It's taken all that time. Yeah. And scam artists are trying to take advantage of 9/11 victims. These are people are creeps. That's coming up. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 10:05 right here on 710 WOR. First up, here's Bernie Vider with traffic.
Good morning, everybody. At 9:42 on a Monday, a springy Monday, Len, going to hit 65, 66 degrees. Joe Bartlett, our news guy, is excited because he's going to be hitting the links this afternoon, playing a little golf. You played over the weekend, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
You played over the weekend? It was cold, though, wasn't it?
It was a little cold. You know, I got an interesting email. We were talking about babies' names.
Yes, because Kate Middleton has given birth to an 8-pound baby boy, and they're taking bets on what the name's going
to
be.
So I facetiously said before, wouldn't you like, because they have to go to the queen.
Yes, she's got to
get her approval. And I said, wouldn't you like to be in the room if Kate Williams said, you know, we're going to name him Shlomo. I mean, I think that would be hilarious. But anyway, John emailed me. You can always email us directly to Michael or myself at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. John emailed me that the name that cracked the top 10 for baby names in England last year
was
Muhammad.
Oh, well, that's because there's a large Muslim population in England.
If they had Charlotte, and Muhammad, I think that'd be great.
Prince Muhammad. I somehow don't think Kate's going to be going to Buckingham Palace and say, Mummy, can we name the baby Muhammad?
Mo for short.
That's not going to happen. No, not going to happen. Hey, you know, Len, you were here September 11th. I was here. I was actually I was jogging that day and had jogged that morning right by the World Trade Center, as I always did. And when I got back to my apartment, because my back was to the Trade Center, I didn't know what was going on. I just remember my doorman pointing. Then I turned around and I saw where the first plane had hit the North Tower. Well, there was a subway station right under the Trade Center, the Cortlandt Street subway station. It has been out of commission now for 17 years since the attack on the Trade Center, but it is finally due to reopen in October. I mean, I think most people forgot there was even a Cortlandt Street stop on the subway.
I had no idea. It's been going on for 17 years.
17 years to repair the damage that was done there, but it's going to be reopening in October, and you know, it's a good thing. It's a symbol that the city is back, and now that little subway station that was long forgotten is going to be back on the tracks. Yeah.
And you were talking about this church, which...
So there's
this is St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church.
St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church. It was a tiny, tiny little church that sat right at the base of the South Tower. And when the South Tower fell, it just completely obliterated this little Greek Orthodox Church, St. Nicholas. Kind of sad. It was the only religious building that was destroyed in the attack on the World Trade Center. It had been there since the 19th century. Very important to Greeks in this country because... when it was christened a church in the 19th century, it was where a lot of the Greeks, when they got past Ellis Island, when they got through Ellis Island, they would go to this church to pray, to thank God for getting them safely to America. Well, as a symbol of the resilience of this city, they have been rebuilding this church, but now... The project has ground to a halt. I walked by it a couple of times, and I kept thinking to myself, there's not a lot of activity going on here.
Yeah.
Apparently, the thing was going to cost $30 million. The cost has now skyrocketed to $80 million.
Wow.
The Greek church does not have the money to finish it. There are questions raised about where the donations have gone. An investigation is going on into this, and what could have been a symbol of the resiliency of the city, and that little church has now become mired in real questions about who's getting the money, where the money's going, cost overruns. They hired a fancy Spanish architect who designed the Oculus. But, you know, these architects, they never come in on budget. These fancy architects, they never
they're not the builders, they're just the designers.
No, they're the artists, you know. But anyway, it really makes me sad because that little church was so important to Greeks here in New York, and it would be nice to see them come back with a new church, but until they sort all this financial stuff out, that church is just going to sit there unbuilt.
Here's another, and our friend Congressman Peter King on Long Island is part of a group calling attention to the fact there's a scam going around, and they've asked the Federal Trade Commission to investigate it. I guess these scammers are posing as Victim Compensation Fund staffers, and they're calling first responders and others, and they're trying to get private information from them. Really? I mean, is that the lowest of the low, trying to scam first responders after 9/11? Come on. Find these people and lock them up.
Absolutely no question about it. But, you know, the good news there, that little forgotten subway station, the Cortlandt Street subway station.
17 years, wow.
Going to reopen in October. Hey, bus driver, I think we may be going in the wrong direction. You're not going to believe what we're going to tell you about when we come back. There was a Greyhound bus headed to New York City, but somehow it got pointed in the wrong direction. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 10 o'clock news on 710 WOR. But let's go to Bernie Vider now and check in on the traffic.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. 710 WOR.
As we come up on 9:54, it means we are 6 minutes away from Mark Simone.
Mr. New York, my pal.
Several callers seemed underwhelmed with the royal birth this morning. We have another baby boy born into Buckingham Palace.
Well, but a lot of the callers are making the point that I was making. We fought a revolution to break away from the crown, and now Americans, especially women, I gotta say, Natalie, are obsessed with everything to do with the British royal family.
It's
from the babies to the
obsessed.
Weddings to the this, that, and the other thing.
I find it interesting. I get in touch with my feminine side.
It's like my reality TV. It's just kind of an escape.
Right. I think it's more fun when there are scandals rocking Buckingham Palace. Though.
Well, that's fun,
too. That's good, too.
I know, but they've been on this...
I go for both.
They've been on this PR charm ever since the death of Princess Diana, whom they may have killed, by the way, that happened and rocked the palace and the monarchy almost came tumbling down. Now they have to play nice and be great, and Prince Harry and Prince William are perfect.
So it's really just about that it's too nice for you.
Yes, I want a little...
He's a newspaper guy, Natalie. They always tread the page six, the dirt. That's
the royal family has been debauched for years. You look back at the history of the kings and queens. How many wives did Henry VIII have, and how many heads did he take off them?
Don't worry.
That's the kind of king
There's
I want.
Always a scandal around the corner.
I want to send
Don't
him to
you
the,
worry.
It's Tower of London.
I want to By send the way, on a bright side, tomorrow is going to be free T-shirt Tuesday here on the show. Any caller who gets through and we take your call on the air, you're going to get a free WOR Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning T-shirt. They are handsome looking devils, Michael. I'm telling you,
the people
great.
In them or the T-shirts themselves.
The T-shirts themselves. So tomorrow is free T-shirt Tuesday. Hey, how about this bus driver needs a new GPS? I think.
So there's a bus that's supposed to be going to New York City from Cleveland, already delayed 3 hours for mechanical problems, and then they're going through Pennsylvania. The bus now has to turn around because they have more problems, and the people wake up, and instead of seeing on their way to New York City, instead of seeing the skyline, they say, goodbye, thank you for visiting Pennsylvania. They're heading back to Ohio. I don't know why they've got to go back to Cleveland to fix the bus,
right.
But the bus driver doesn't even get to Cleveland. He goes to Toledo.
And then
realizes he's made a mistake going to Toledo, and they finally get to Cleveland. And then they complain, and they get no satisfaction, and they've been told they have to call Greyhound customer service. These people set out for New York, and they went back to Cleveland by way of Toledo.
That is a horrible situation. I have done that ride. I do that ride every year from New York to Cleveland for Thanksgiving.
Oh, you've done the bus?
No. I do a car.
I have
never done the bus. I've done long bus tried, but that was years and years ago. But you know what? 80, it's long, it's straight, it's boring. You know, you take one wrong turn, you just keep on going. I can kind of understand how it could happen.
I know, but some of these people get on the bus and think we're going to New York. They fall asleep and they wake up and they say, welcome to Toledo.
That's great. Well, close. Hey, I need a ruling here. Is this guy a bad luck guy or a good luck guy? His name is Dylan McWilliams. He's from Colorado. He has been bitten by a shark, a bear, and a snake in less than 4 years, and he lived. He's fine.
He's a good luck guy.
Half glass full or what? Is that good or bad?
Good luck guy. Do we have the details on the bites?
Well, he was bitten by a shark Thursday in Hawaii, a bear. Well, here he talks about being bitten by the bear.
Very lucky. Like, feel God had a hand in it. Just a loud crunching sound and a lot of pain.
Ouch.
And then I realized I could hear the bear. I could smell him. I could feel him.
Yikes.
Wait a minute. It's only after the bear bites him that he realized he could hear the bear or smell the bear? Is the bear like a shark that comes out of nowhere and bites you? I think if you could see a bear coming at you in the woods.
He received 9 staples. This guy's from Colorado. He was at a campsite in his home state. Got 9 staples in his scalp after a nearly 300-pound bear invaded his campsite.
Very lucky. Like, yeah. Feel God had a hand in it.
Yeah, God had a hand in it for sure.
So what happened with the shark now?
It didn't say how badly it was, but it was bitten by a shark. And then it said, as for the rattlesnake, that was 3.5 years ago. You know, I looked it up. There, I have the official ruling. He is a spider short of being bit for the cycle. So that's interesting. That's an official.
You have to be
official medical. Well, that's crazy, huh? A shark, a bear, and a snake in less than 4 years.
Now all he can go for the gold by being bitten by a tarantula. Poor guy. But you know, you gotta say I'd say that's pretty lucky. I mean, listen, a snake bite alone by a rattlesnake. Are you kidding me? Ooh-yay-yay.
All right. Oh, so we just located some sound of one of the passengers on your Greyhound bus.
Oh, that went to.
That was looking for Cleveland, wound up in Toledo.
2 hours go by, and then we're in Toledo. Because she missed the exit.
Ah! I didn't know it was a woman driver. That explains it.
Oh, no.
Natalie just shot me such a look. She really did.
The mystery there is, though, if the bus is breaking down, why do you have to go all the way back to Cleveland? There have got to be Greyhound terminals along the way.
You would think.
Fix the bus or put you on a new bus and get you to
Pittsburgh,
New York City.
I mean,
exactly.
Somewhere.
Why not?
Exactly.
We were on this bus for 7 hours just going in a circle.
Sounds like fun. Hey, did you miss anything today? Check out 710WR.com/LennonMichael. Coming up next, Mark Simone, your next chance at $1,000. Coming up after the news at 10 o'clock. And we leave you now with the sounds of Avicii.
Who died over the
great
weekend.
Great song. Avicii was just 28 years old. So long. See you tomorrow, everyone. So wake me up.